Hillary Clinton said a few years ago, it takes a village to raise a child. And mostly I agree with her. If it does take a village to raise a child, then the village chiefs are the parents. And the primary responsibility for our children rests on us as moms and dads. But there are a whole group of people right behind parents that I think are unsung heroes that whose impact is probably usually more lasting and deeper than most of us realize. And I think those are teachers. Not everybody has a pastor, but everybody has a teacher. Everybody has teachers. And so I know we've sort of done that in some way, but I did want to just specially point out those of you who teach and coach. And I just want to say a special thank you this morning. And when we're done today, you'll know why what you do means so much to me personally. But if we could, just once more, teachers, coaches, those of you who work directly with children, teachers' assistants, would you stand and let us just honor you? Would you stand where you are? Would you just give these folks a huge round of applause? Thank you. Thank you for all you do. You're welcome. Jesus is telling me thank you, or a guy that looks like him. Well, at least I'm not talking to the demon, so that helps. Today, as we celebrate as a unified Kingwood family, I thought an appropriate question to ask would be, why does our church have a school? I mean, why would a church want to have a school? I promise you it's not because it's cheap. It's a significant investment over a lot of years that takes a lot on every level from a lot of people. From 12 weeks old to 12th grade, about 650 students are in Kingwood School and Kingwood Child Development Center. And then if you add Master's Commission and our CBC College we have at the church, around 700 students are involved in some way. I just wanted to share three quick thoughts with you today that have had a lasting impact on my life. And I think that they'll indirectly answer the question, why does our church have a school? Here's the first thought. The first one is, God's real. Now that might seem like a no-brainer or something odd to talk about. You know, I found when I read the Bible never attempts to prove God's existence. You just hear statements like, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And the Bible just assumes God's there. It never attempts to explain where He came from or explain how He came to be. There's no formula for how God started. There's just this assumption that He's there. He just is. And in the Bible, He always has been and He always will be. And so that whole thought was really profound to me when I was the age that some of these students are today. I remember when I was around 14 or 15, this whole idea on whether God was real or not was a big struggle for me. I wasn't sure if there was a God. If there was a God, I wasn't sure what He was like. I was empty. I was searching, wondering what life was for, wondering what life was about. I guess the modern approach to life is just do the best for yourself that you can. Make the best out of your life you can make. Excel as far as you can. Succeed as high as you can. Get the most out of life, the most enjoyment that you can get. Avoid as much pain as you can. And when you're done with that, grow old. And if I'm being honest, I guess when I was a teenager, that was my approach to life. I didn't understand what the meaning was. And so that philosophy, though, as I came to grips as a 15-year-old with that's what life is, what I couldn't understand is why did that matter? If I were able to succeed as much as I could succeed, And I were able to do as much as I could do and become everything I could become and make as much money or achieve as many accolades or accomplishments. When I was done with all that, and even if I enjoyed life as much as I could enjoy it, when I was done with that, why would that matter? What would it prove? What would it do? How would that make my life meaningful? And that question was answered for me in a profound way. The problem, though, is when you believe God's real, it then opens up a whole load of other questions. Like, if He is real, who is He? What is He like? What does He do? Well, here's the second thought. The first one that really impacted my life is that God was real, and as I came to grips with that reality, I learned a second thought. It's God's close. God is close. Now think about that for a minute. When we think about God, we tend to think about some transcendent being off in the cosmos, floating in the universe somewhere, separated from our life, not really knowing what we go through, not really knowing what we're feeling or what we're thinking or what our experience is. A mysterious God, a complicated God, hard to figure out, distance. But that's not how Scripture explains God at all. In the very beginning in Genesis, the Bible says that He walked and talked with Adam and Eve. He told Noah to build an ark because the earth was going to flood. He led Abraham away from his homeland and He blessed them. He stayed all night in the lion's den with Daniel and shut the mouth of the lions, and Daniel survived what otherwise would have been a tragic end. He met Paul the Apostle on a road to a city called Damascus on his way to persecute Christians. He pulled John up into a vision, and John wrote down what he saw, and we call that the book of Revelations. God, when He wanted to communicate with us, He didn't say, build a tower, build a ladder, build an elevator, construct some way of higher thinking, and come up here where I am. He sent His Son Christ to earth to put His feet on the same dirt we walk on. God's close. I found that out in my own life. I grew up in a really dysfunctional home. A lot of chaos and a lot of turmoil. The neighborhood I grew up in was pretty rough. My mom was a secretary at the local high school. It was about a mile from my house. We played basketball in the yard out behind the school in the summers. That school had a lot of turmoil. In the 80s, there were riots in that local school. And my mom tells stories to me of when she locked herself in the school office and the Memphis City police riot team showed up with riot gear and bullet-stopping shields, where they would park side to side and sweep hallways to stop the rioting that was going on. The principal went out to try to stop it, and he was beat up pretty bad. So to keep me out of that environment, they sent me to a local private school. My family was lower middle class on a good year, and it was a genuine sacrifice for my parents to send me to that school. But God used that experience as a great stabilizing event in my life. I went to that school from first grade to 12th grade. I never went to a different school. I don't know any other environment. My parents sent me there because they thought it would be a better environment for me than the chaos that was raging in the city, let alone the chaos that was inside my own family and my home. But you know, God used that plan, God used that move to do a lot of incredible things in my life. Things that would have never happened otherwise. They sent me there to put me in a better environment, but God used it for His own kingdom and His own glory, and He used that school to touch my life. I had a basketball coach. It was really influential on me. So Coach Davis, I appreciate especially what you do. Other coaches, I appreciate what you do. I had a Bible teacher that had a great influence on my life. And the truth is, I think the biggest influence immediately were just friends. In my ninth grade class, I had guys and girls who, although the school, you know, students come and go, and there was a group of kids that went to a local church, and they really accepted me. They reached out to me. I always like to say the first people that reached me were teenagers. And so if you're a teenager in here, you're 13, 14, 15, you don't think God can use you to do anything, think about me. God used people just like you to touch people just like me. And so they welcomed me into their group. They welcomed me into their relationships, and they invited me to the church that they went to. And so I started going to church with them. And it made such a big difference in my life. As I went to church, I started to hear about this God that was real, and I started to hear about this God that was closer than I thought. He wasn't so far away as it turned out. And I began to sense these impressions and had thoughts in my mind, and people would speak to me and it felt different than it did before. It's like God was trying to talk to me. Finally, when I was 15 years old, the inner emptiness started to collapse on me. And at 2 o'clock one morning in my little living room in Memphis, Tennessee, I was 15. I was up late. I couldn't sleep. And I went to the living room and I knelt down on my knees. And I just started to pray. And I guess I had prayed before that. I don't remember praying before that. But as I knelt there, I started to just talk to God. And it was something like this. I just said, God, if you're real, if you're there, there's got to be more to life than what I know now. There's got to be more than I'm experienced. Just to do the best I can, to make the best life I can make, to succeed as much as I can succeed, to enjoy life as much as I can enjoy it. And when I'm done with that, what is it? What is it? What's left? What did it matter? What was it for? And so I just knelt there at 2 o'clock in the morning, just overwhelmed with all the things that was happening in my life and the emptiness. And I just said, God, help me with the emptiness. Help me with the meaninglessness. Help me with the void inside my life. And I don't know how long it was. It seemed like a half hour. I was just kneeling there praying. And I stopped in a few minutes. And nothing happened. And so I went to bed. And the next day, my life, I'd say over the next few weeks, really started to change. I began to see how close God was. And the closer I got to God, the more my life changed. My grades went up. My friends changed. My focus changed. I was the first male in my dad's side of the family that ever graduated high school. I was the first West of either side that ever went to college. And my life just continued to radically change. Something changed in that moment, and the course my life was on shifted, and I went a whole other way. Unfortunately, my sister wasn't as fortunate as I was. She was older than I was, and the turmoil in our family caused a lot of problems, and she didn't have the same opportunity that I had. She didn't have a Christian influence in her life outside my mom. She didn't get an opportunity to go to a Christian school. Am I saying that was the difference in our life? I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure there were other differences. One thing I can tell you for sure, being in a Christian school changed my life. I don't know what it would have done for her. I can say with 100% confidence, if it weren't for teachers and coaches and people who cared about me and teenage friends who reached out to me, you and I would have never met. I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be a pastor. I don't know where I'd be. I guess I'd be out trying to figure out how to make my life more meaningful. Why does our church have a school? Because Christian schools change people's lives. That's why our church has a school. My life was changed. Anything with Christ in it, anything with Christ in it, changes people's lives. In school, is one of those opportunities to introduce Jesus in another way. When people get an environment where they can understand that God's close, their life begins to change. When I begin to understand that God was close to me, that He was talking to me, that He was guiding me, it changed my life. And I began to understand that God was talking to me through teachers and administrators and friends. And so I found out God was close. Now here's the last one. If God is real and God is close, then it led me at least to ask one other question. What does He want? I mean, if He's really real and He took the effort to not be so far away but to try to talk to me where I lived, what did He want? Here's the third one. God is love. God is love. If someone said to you, who is God? Not what does He look like, not what does He do, not what is He, but I mean, what is He? Is He a human? Is He an animal? Is He an angel? Is He a star? Is He a planet? If you were to break open God and look at Him under a microscope and find out what is the chemical composition of God, what would He be? Well, 1 John 4:16 tells us. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. There's three little words that will change your life. God is love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in Him. God is real. God is close. And God is love. God's not motivated by love. God's attitude is not loving. God is love. It's what He is. Let me tell you what I found out kneeling in my living room at 2 o'clock in the morning at 15 years old. I found out what God wanted. He wanted to love me. And that understanding changed my life. Maybe you came in today to celebrate with your son or daughter. Maybe you came because your kid's on the basketball team or the softball or baseball, or because they sang or were in one of the dramas, or maybe you just came to celebrate. Maybe you didn't even know Kingwood Church had a school. You're just here. Maybe you came for one reason, but maybe like me, God had another plan. Maybe you're here because this is one of those moments where He's trying to talk to you. And He's trying to say to you, hey, I'm real and I'm close. And what I really want is I really just want to love you. I'm going to ask our worship team to come. And I'm going to ask you right where you sit, if you just close your eyes. If you can, I know there's a lot of folks here. If you can, just get in a place where you can get still and quiet. Your eyes are closed. Maybe some of you came in today and you said, you know, this was a really different environment for me. This was surprising. It's really sort of caught me off guard in some ways. It's okay. We're really glad you came. And the truth is, since I was 15, God started to talk to me through impressions in my heart. What I've really wanted to give my life to do was to let other people know that He loves them too. There's nothing special about me. He loves you just the same. So with every eye closed, I just want to pray with you. You're here today and you say, you know what? I really need a relationship with God. Today I realize that God's talking to me. And I just want to respond. I need to invite Him into my life. Or maybe you say, I've been distant. I want to renew this morning my relationship with God. I won't embarrass you. I won't even ask you to stand up. Right where you sit, just as you are, any age, young or old, it doesn't matter. If you just lift your hand, no one's looking but me. If you just lift your hand and say, "That's me," would you pray with me today? Would you lift your hand now? I see your hand. You can put it back down. Thank you. Would you just lift your hand? I see your hand. Put it back down. Just lift your hand. Just lift your hand. The balcony, I'm looking in the balcony. I see your hand in the right cove here to my right. Just lift your hand. I see your hand in the middle. Put it down. See your hands in the front. Thank you. Anybody else? Just pray with me. That's all you're saying. Just pray with me today. I want to renew this morning. I want to walk in relationship with the God who loves me, who's close to me. One other thought, and I'll pray and we'll go. If you're here today and you say, "You know what? I realize that God is doing something in my life. I realize that He's real. And I realize that something's happening. I'm not ready to act on it yet. I don't know necessarily what to do with it. But I just want you to pray for me that God will help me to know what my next step is. With no one looking, would you just lift your hand and say, "That's me"? I see your hand. You can put it down. I see your hand. I see your hands in the front. Thank you. Just say, "Look, I'm not ready to do anything. I just see what you're saying, and I see that God's real and He's doing something, and I just want you to pray for me that I'll find my way through this, that I'll know what to do." Would you just lift your hand wherever you are? And I'm just going to pray for you. I see your hand in the very back. You put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else before we pray? We're about to pray. The service will close.